This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I miss the days when basketball was a contact sport, when not every single player was complaining about not getting a foul called.
LAPD was called.
LAPD was called.
OMG, and I don't even say that. I am so tired of seeing rookies complain about not getting a call.
You cannot be serious.
I remember when only captains were allowed to speak to officials, and now can you just shut up and play basketball?
Your mama raised you better than that.
Have you lost your mind?
Open this up. Is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Happy Friday. How does that sound? Sounds pretty good, huh? I even got a mini smile out of Brad Heller, who has had a challenging week. But when I said Friday and payday, he lit up a little bit. I don't think that we'll ever get a Kawhi Leonard laugh out of him again. Remember, he tried to imitate him not that long ago. But Friday and payday seem to be like the perfect reasons. If you're going to laugh for the first time in a long time, this is the moment, and today is the day. And this is a Friday morning. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Even if it's a working weekend, which it happens to be for me, I'm always thankful to hit Friday. And it's nice to eat for the weekend. So yes, payday as well. I hope that it's setting up to be a great weekend for you. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. It's the debut of the AAF this weekend. I like this just because I have no idea what it means, but I like this write-up for the Alliance of American Football. It's coming. That's what you need to know for sure. It starts on Saturday. Its leaders have big plans, including the first ever real-time in-game fantasy football experience. Okay, is that like a prop bet? It's like prop fantasy? Hey, Brian, who's filling in for Chris tonight, I want to do some research and figure out what the AAF has in the way of first ever real-time in-game fantasy football experience.
You can bet based on, like, will the next play be a run or will the next play be a pass?
Are people really that addicted?
Yeah, it's called live betting.
Okay. I'm going to be busy this weekend, but you let me know how that goes.
Will do.
Oh, my gosh. That seems like a really quick way for me to get extremely frustrated. Fantasy football is enough to make me want to pull my hair out, which is why very often on Sundays I just have to ignore it. Set the lineup, set it aside, forget about it. And it still drives me nuts sometimes when I know that my particular chosen roster is not performing well. Now, would I consider sending a nasty tweet to the actual athlete? I would not. However, that does happen on social media. All right, so for those of you who are addicts and who don't mind riding this wave, you need to let me know if the Alliance of American Football, with its first ever real-time in-game fantasy experience, appeals to you. And I would love to get your feedback once we get through the weekend. All right. I'm not sure if I'd rather do that or tangle with an 80-pound mountain lion. I mean, it's touch and go there for a second. I'm not good at losing money. Anyway, that's coming up this weekend, so you let me know. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and on our Facebook page. Also, the Lego Movie is out this weekend, the second one. So that actually may trump the AAF wait, the A, yes, the AAF, as well as anything that the Mountain Lion has to offer. Leg, something tells me that's going to be massive in the theaters, especially if you think about the number of places around the country that will be dealing with bad weather because it's February and football's done. Ooh, perfectly timed. Sorry, NFL football is done. The Super Bowl is over. Perfectly timed to drop the Lego Movie 2. It's going to be quite a weekend for parents who are going to be shelling out dough to take their kiddos.
That's awesome.
All right, so on Twitter or Facebook, and speaking of the end of football, we just posted here at CBS, my last weekly column of the season. It's crazy because it was 25 weeks, which is half the year, but that's what I signed up for. So I did a column every week, and you were very supportive, including you, Mom. Thank you. My mom read every last line of every last column. I don't expect you to be as dedicated listeners. However, many of you were very supportive and you engaged in debate and you read the columns and you let me know. So the very last one is now posted. It's not about the Super Bowl. Plenty has been said and written about the Super Bowl. Instead, it's about looking forward. And according to Mom, the last line of this very last column of the season is the best line. So you're going to have to go read it for yourself to find out. But it's on Twitter. It's pinned to the top of my Twitter page. Look for the photo of Nick Foles. That's a bit of a tease. And then also it's on our Twitter, I'm sorry, our Facebook page as well. So you can check it out because the conversation will be ongoing. Hello, AAF, but it's never goodbye to NFL. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. JT Realmuto is not a free agent domino that drops for Major League Baseball on Thursday. However, he does finally get traded. So with 2 years left on his deal, the Marlins flip him to Philly in exchange for a catcher and a couple of pieces, a real nice pitching prospect that the Marlins wanted, I guess, whatever. So Realmuto is now with the Phillies. Does this take them out of the running for Harper or Machado? Probably not. Maybe it makes that roster more attractive. But it was almost like a big tease to see that there was news coming in Major League Baseball, and instead it's Realmuto as opposed to Harper or Machado. Or even Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrell, two other big names who are out there and still available on the free agent market. And you can tell that players are getting antsy. Evan Longoria using social media to talk about how players are being undervalued. And certainly the union wants these guys signed to fat contracts so that they can see the market continue to grow and to swell and to shoot skyward. But I don't know. The market may be stabilizing. It's the ebbs and flows. We see it all the time with Wall Street. I mean, that's how it goes. The market corrects, and there are corrections that are made in response to what else is happening, in this case, in Major League Baseball. And the 10-year, $300 million deal, that may not materialize in this case. And so you have this weird kind of, I called it a staring contest earlier, where the players are waiting for the agents and the players and the agents are waiting for the teams to blink. The teams are not only waiting to hear something, but worried about changing their offer because you don't want to be bidding against yourself and kind of cannibalizing your own offer. And so it's just, it's weirdly quiet right now with these big name free agents. However, Realmuto ends up with the Phillies. Now, it was a little bit quiet as well in the, I would say the two-hour range before the NBA trade deadline. I was procrastinating finishing my column, of course. What else is new? And so I was looking at Twitter and refreshing and trying to figure out whether or not any moves had been made. And it was eerie. It was really eerie at that point. But there was a flurry of activity right before the deadline. So in that final hour, Nico Mirotic to the Bucks, so they bolster their three-point shooting. Mark Gasol, who was very close to landing in Charlotte, instead ends up with Toronto. And if you missed my conversation with Greg Brady, some morning show host on the Fan 590. Well, we talked to him. let me just summarize my conversation with Craig Brady. I asked him, so with the change at head coach and of course, bringing in Kawhi Leonard in the offseason, DeMar DeRozan is gone. Now, Jonas Valanciunas is out. Marc Gasol is in. How much has changed with the culture? This is a very earnest question, right? How much has changed with the culture of the Raptors this season? His response, well, LeBron is gone, so, you know, a lot has changed. Okay, so maybe the Raptors are uber confident and maybe they're not. I think if you look big picture, Eastern Conference, while we're talking about it, the fact that it's the Sixers who make the move for Tobias Harris, it's Marc Gasol to the Raptors, and it's Nico Mirotic to the Bucks. These three moves are all for the here and now. They're for the present. They're about winning that conference. Now, I know the Celtics didn't make a move. Their lineup is got a lot of pieces that they're still trying to make sure they can get all on the same page. But no glaring weaknesses in the case of the Celtics. So you've got those four teams, but the three that make the moves are about winning now. Whereas in the Western Conference, minor move here and there, nothing super serious. Most of the teams, as the dust settles on this trade deadline, most of the teams are about positioning themselves for the future, whether through shedding cap commitments and making cap space. Amy, this is what happens when you talk too fast on a Friday morning and get excited. And also shedding unwanted or bad contracts. So that's the idea for most of the teams in the NBA. And I mentioned this stat. I got it from Matt Moore, NBA insider for the Action Network, who joined us on our last show. The possibility is there for 40% of the NBA to be in free agency in a few months. 40%. And we're talking about massive names. Now, Kevin Durant could be part of that conversation or he could not. Klay Thompson could be part of that conversation or he could not. Jimmy Butler, probably going to be part of that conversation. So there's some ebbs and flows there as well, where you don't exactly know which guys will sign contracts to stay where they are and which guys will actually hit free agency. But generally, the big names want to be wooed. Like, woo! They want to be wooed. And so there's a lot of potential for the balance of power to shift in the offseason. And I think it's pretty obvious when you look at the NBA and this trade deadline that most of the moves that were made were not about now, but they're about down the road. Just a handful of these teams in the East, because the East is, I don't want to say it's wide open, but there are a few teams there that you feel like it wouldn't be a huge surprise if they ended up winning the conference and getting to the NBA Finals.
You're all winners!
Everybody gets a trophy! It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You know what that actually makes me think of? The whole winning and losing the trade deadline. So you in the East are all winners! Where, for the most part, the rest of you, wah, wah, wah. So coming up, we're going to talk a little more about the night in the NBA because even though the Lakers did not get Anthony Davis, and I think you look back now and you realize the Pelicans were screwing with them. They weren't actually interested in making a deal with the Lakers. They just wanted to see how much they could get. As it turns out, even with the extra picks and five bodies, they weren't going to make that deal. They didn't want to make that deal. What they wanted to see is how much the Lakers were willing to offer. And now how can we spin that forward into a potential offer for the Lakers in the offseason? But also, how can we use that to get packages from, say, the Celtics, or if he was serious about the Bucks, I don't know, the Clippers. So we're talking about really just using that desire to bring in Anthony Davis against them. The Pelicans will play Davis the rest of the way, so at least we have that question answered. But what about the Lakers? The damage has been done. I get that the moves weren't made, but the fact that LeBron and Magic Johnson, LeBron's agent, were willing to literally slice and dice the locker room and ship half of his teammates out, that's not something that you get over quickly. It's not. And so the deadline may be passed, but the drama remains. Although a buzzer beater, sometimes it can help make you feel better for a little bit. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It's a Friday morning, Friday, here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Both teams out of timeouts. Both teams over the limit. Lakers lead by one. Gordon Hayward inbound to Kyrie, straight away against Ingram. Tatum sets the screen. Kyrie, right-hand dribble, turns the corner on Kuzma, attacks the paint, floats it off the window and in. Celtics lead 11.5 to go, no timeouts. Rondo into Ingram. Ingram will walk it up into the front court, 8 seconds to go. Ingram to his right, behind the Chandler screen, starts his drive, past Horford, reverses it up. Blocked by Horford, loose ball, pinballed around. Rondo for the game, he got it! The ball bounces to Rajon Rondo, who hits from the left elbow, and the Los Angeles Lakers have scored a stunning buzzer-beating win in Boston.
Wow.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Wow is right. How about this nerd alert? First career buzzer beater for Rajon Rondo, and it happens in Boston, of course. If you know anything about Rondo and his flair for the dramatic, he definitely has that. When it comes to nationally televised games on big stages where there are a lot of eyeballs tuned in, Rondo rises to the occasion. Now, does he care as much about the games in, let's say, early November, maybe late February, the dog days when nobody's paying attention, half the team is resting, they're on the road for the fourth time in 5 nights? Yeah, no, he doesn't care as much about those. Well, maybe he cares, but the effort magically seems to be there in these nationally televised games. And for him to have his first career buzzer beater against his former team, the team that he helped to win a championship with 2008. Wow. That was over 10 years ago. Holy cow, how quickly time goes. So Rondo, of course, was emotional afterwards as he was talking about what this meant to him with Kristen Ledlow on TNT.
Just get it up. Get the arc up. Believe it or not, I always dream like this, you know what I mean? But I couldn't picture it being this sweet coming back on, 13 years in, where it all started. Team struggling right now, and I think it's gonna be definitely a confidence boost, of course.
When you walk into this building, where does your mind go first? I asked you where your mind was last, but where does it go first?
Home, where it all started. Danny believed in me from day one, and my career probably wouldn't be the same if I went anywhere else.
Rajon Rondo. Home. When I walk in this building, my mind first goes to home. And it ends with a buzzer beater against my former team. So the call, because it was a fantastic sequence by Sean Grandy. He killed it, even though it was a game winner against the Celtics. But he and Cedric Maxwell on the Boston Celtics radio network. And then Rondo with Ledlow. That's not funny. On TNT. He finishes with 17 points. 10 assists and 7 rebounds. Now, to the best of my knowledge, there were not any photos, snapshots, if you will, taken of LeBron at one end of the bench and everybody else at the other end of the bench. There was a mad scramble that ensued after Rondo hit the buzzer beater, which, by the way, probably touched the hands of, say, 4 other players before it ended up in Rondo's hands. I give him credit because he's not generally known for a soft touch, but from the elbow with that ball and really no time to think about it. I mean, it had to happen immediately, but it caromed off the fingertips of, say, Al Horford and Jason Tatum and a bunch of other guys who were between Rondo and the hoop when Ingram missed that reverse layup. So pretty incredible sequence. Does it fix everything for the Lakers? That might be wishful thinking. LeBron played well. He's looks like he's back from the injury now, and he's good. He had a triple-double. Luke Walton is still the head coach, but I wouldn't get comfortable if I was any member of this Lakers organization, and that includes LeBron. I mean, there's been a lot of turmoil, a lot of speculation. Sometimes the talk can be worse than the actual moves made. Sometimes the talk, the bark is worse than the bite. Oh, there you go. I really don't do well at cliches. Sometimes I sound them out, though, and they come out the right way. So the bark worse than the bite. And in this case, all of the worry and anxiety and speculation beforehand turned out to be for naught because none of them get traded and Anthony Davis is still a Pelican. However, the damage has been done. It's like little weeds creeping up, spoiling the vines. It's after, I don't know what's up with me this morning. It's Friday, that's it. I've got the flair for the dramatic as well, Rondo. After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Mention Anthony Davis and the Pelicans. As it turns out, the NBA was concerned. That's the word that I heard. The NBA was concerned over the proposal, the idea even, that Davis would not play the rest of the way if he did not get traded by New Orleans. And I am glad that the NBA, I don't know if we can say that Adam Silver stepped in, but that the NBA at least offered its opinion and let the Pelicans know that they would not be on board with benching. I mean, that's literally what it would be. Benching one of the top players in the entire league simply to protect him from getting hurt. Now, I can think of a couple situations in the NFL where that's happened. Most recently, the one that annoyed me the most, I think, was RG3. I mean, I say this all the time. He got wrapped in bubble wrap that last season that he was with the Redskins because they were worried about him getting hurt and not being able to recoup anything for him or to potentially trade him, blah, blah, blah. And that would have been absolutely wrong. What other reason would you have to watch the Pelicans if Anthony Davis was benched the rest of the year? But also, it does a disservice to the league to keep one of its best players on the bench simply because you're worried about him getting hurt. And then he can't practice him either because he could get hurt in practice as well. So I'm glad that Adam Silver expressed his concerns and Davis indicated he wants to play, which also makes me happy. All right, I would be really ticked if Davis wanted to sit the rest of the way like one Le'Veon Bell. Yeah, I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to get the mileage. I'm just going to hang out here and sit. The difference, of course, being that Davis would still be getting paid. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So that is, I guess, a couple of the questions that we needed to get answered around the trade deadline. And we'll see now how these trades work out. For sure, the majority of the franchises out there really didn't go all in or make a move to get better now. It was about looking forward and figuring out how they can get in the best position for free agency. Let's talk to Chris, who's in Maryland. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy, how you doing? Watched the game last night, and I remember in the first quarter, me and my son was watching the game, and we were sitting there, and my son got up. He was like, man, I'm about to go to bed. He said, this is not even the game. So I got up. I was like, yeah, me too. But I sat there for a minute. Next thing I know, I'm like, the Lakers started coming back, and I needed to go to bed, but I could not. That game was like, when they came back, and then the duel between Kyrie and LeBron, like, they was going back and forth. And Kyle Kuzma, like, those, you know, Rondo, those dudes, Caldwell Pope, those dudes was really playing ball yesterday together. And I seen some heart and some fight in them. So hopefully this will help them get through that whole situation that they had. My question is, you remember when LeBron came to the Lakers and he had this talk with Magic Johnson about, you know, seeing the team and what he could do with the team. And I'm like, you got a bunch of young dudes there. And he said that was what made him want to come to that team. But I'm like, if that's what made you want to come to that team, why y'all want to get rid of everybody that made you come to that team? I feel like the Lakers had a panic move because AD wanted a trade, and they were just trying to give up too much for one player. And I'm glad it didn't work out, to be honest.
I would agree with you that was way too much, but I don't think it's a panic move. It's LeBron's business partner who represents Anthony Davis. I mean, to me, it was more of a strong arm move. This wasn't a surprise to the Lakers. I mean, the fact that you've got that tie, that was what irked the NBA, is that they felt like LeBron and his business partner were trying to strong arm Anthony Davis to the Lakers. And it all felt a little bit too creepy.
So do you think the Lakers benefited without the trade being made? And I said that to say, when you know, and I said this a while back when it was going on, that if Anthony Davis' decision is only to go to the Lakers, if you're Boston or any other team, why would you give up assets for him for just a one-year rental?
Well, because first of all, you're hoping you can convince him to stay, similar to, say, a Paul George in Oklahoma City who was desperate to go to Los Angeles and ended up staying with Russell Westbrook. But more importantly than that is Anthony Davis can change your franchise immediately. So if you're Boston and you feel like you're close and you believe that you can win a title with Davis on your roster, well, then you make that move because winning a title can change a lot. And not only can it convince a player to stick around, but, I mean, winning a title is about money. It's about prestige. You only get so many opportunities at a title, but it would be the same for any other franchise. I know that Davis's dad originally said Boston wasn't on his roster, but it's a pretty storied franchise and could potentially change his mind. So, and I don't know. I don't think the Pelicans are anxious to send him to LA and kind of give in to what he was asking for. Chris, thank you so much for the phone call. I appreciate it. Have a great Friday in Maryland. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up, Major League Baseball bids farewell to one of its all-time greats. And we found some really cool audio from the day that he received the Presidential Medal of Freedom. So we'll talk about Frank Robinson a little bit coming up.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Frank Robinson. Frank Robinson played the game of baseball with total integrity and steadfast determination. He won Most Valuable Player awards in both the National and American Leagues. He achieved the American League Triple Crown in 1966. His teams won 5 league titles and 2 World Series championships. In 1975, Frank Robinson broke the color barrier as baseball's first African-American manager, and he later won Manager of the Year awards in both the National and American Leagues. The United States honors Frank Robinson for his extraordinary achievements as a baseball player and manager and for setting a lasting example of character in athletics.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
We love that audio from the Presidential Medal of Freedom award ceremony. Frank Robinson being honored with the highest civilian award. And it's not about his baseball accomplishments. It's about the impact that he left, the trail that he blazed, and the fact that he did it with an incredible toughness. That's the word I heard over and over on Thursday as we found out that Mr. Robinson had passed away. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. I did not see him play. He was into the Hall of Fame before I was paying any attention to Major League Baseball. And I do remember seeing him around baseball when I first started to watch. But at that point, he was already done. To me, he was more of a manager than he was a player. And obviously now you know that managerial career was born out of his playing career. But at the time that I first learned about him and knew who he was and would recognize his face, it was as a manager. And of course, he was the first African-American manager to break that barrier in Major League Baseball. I think something else, as I think back about it, that wasn't something that I ever remember feeling like it was significant, which as a kid sometimes you don't look at colors and you don't think about those barriers. And there's some naivety there, but there's also some innocence. I just knew that he was a manager in baseball. I love the post that the Nationals put up, and I retweeted it not that long ago, and they listed his accomplishments: Rookie of the Year, Gold Glove winner, batting champ, Triple Crown winner, two-time MVP, two-time World Series champ, World Series MVP, 14-time All-Star, All-Star Game MVP, Manager of the Year, Hall of Famer, and first manager in Nats history. Of course, they weren't the Nationals at the time, but to see the pictures of him in the Washington Expos gear was pretty cool on Thursday. And again, as a as a kid, I didn't know anything about his playing career or the fact that he was 10th at the time. He would have been higher, but that he finished 10th on home runs all-time list, that he hit 586 dingers, or that he was the only player ever to win MVP in both leagues, that he was a Triple Crown winner as a member of the Orioles in 1966. So none of that was anything that I knew about Frank Robinson, but I remember the smile. I remember people talking about him as though he was one of the greats. And I certainly remember the fact that since then, since the point at which he was inducted into the Hall of Fame to the point at which he passed away on Thursday, he was revered for his impact, and his legacy was not ever forgotten or diminished. There are a lot of guys who played Major League Baseball. There are a lot of guys who had firsts or who have resumes that are similar to his. Maybe not exactly the same, but Hall of Famers who have an impressive list of accomplishments. But the ones who transcend the eras, the ones who continue to be revered and continue to be respected long after they're done, those are the ones that you know make the best ambassadors and whose legacy will not be forgotten, even though we, this current generation, didn't see him play. It's After Hours, as I mentioned, on CBS Sports Radio, and you can find me on Twitter, A Law Radio, or on Facebook. It was neat to go back and watch the videos and to see what people had to say about him. One of his former teammates, Jim Palmer, commented this way on MLB Network that he never would have been as accomplished as he was without playing alongside the likes of Frank Robinson. And so that's the highest compliment that I think you can give anyone as a teammate, is you made me better. I'm better, and I accomplished more, and I saw more, and we won more because of you, because I played alongside you, because I was better with you. We also pulled up a piece of Frank Robinson's Hall of Fame speech.
For a young boy in Oakland, California, playing on an asphalt baseball field, he didn't dare dream, not even dare think, that he would one day be standing up here being inducted into the Hall of Fame. But it has happened. Thank you all for coming today.
So Frank Robinson, gone at the age of 83 after a long battle with bone cancer, I believe it was, but definitely won't be forgotten. And again, I saw the word tough over and over on Thursday as various members of the baseball community were weighing in and thanking him for what he meant to them personally as well as to the game. And kind of the idea that popped into my head is that he had no choice but to be tough, because of the fact that he was going where no other manager, and he was still a player at the time, a player manager had gone before. And even though he wasn't Jackie Robinson, and he says, I didn't face the same type of resistance that Robinson did. But he also tells the story of him and his family in Baltimore struggling to find a place to live because there were people there who didn't want African-American neighbors, didn't want them living in their buildings. And so his path wasn't the same as Jackie Robinson, but it's sure as heck wasn't easy. And he broke a different barrier, and he had no choice but to be tough, or he wouldn't have survived. And that character and that leadership, that toughness, that all kept him going, but also kept him from losing his smile and his joy and his passion for the game that he loved. And so he will miss Frank Robinson, and I appreciate the stories and the tweets that you sent. Some of you saw him play and, you know, called up with some really cool memories about him. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's see, the world's best. So even as I'm talking about how the NFL is done, there's a lot of other things going on this weekend, to be sure. The world's best, including Jordan Spieth, Jason Day, and Dustin Johnson, take on the breathtaking yet brutal golf courses at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am this weekend on CBS. I also got rebuked by one Twitter listener who found me on Twitter, who said, it's not the end of football because the AAF starts. I mean, I'm going to be really interested to know how many of you pay attention to it. I'm going to, because I believe that there is some interest. And also, I want to know, just as a member of the sports broadcasting industry, what it's like and how close it is to I don't want to say how close it is to the NFL. I feel like that's an unfair standard to throw at it. But can it provide an entertaining, compelling product? And how much fun will it be to see the likes of Steve Spurrier on the sidelines again, who's the head coach of Orlando? So, yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like it'll be interesting. I don't know if it'll stick, right? I don't know if it's going to be something that we really look forward to. At the very least, it would take some years to build to that excitement. But still, the fact of, you know, the idea of having more football and the fact that it's got some crossover and some names that you'll remember from either college football or the NFL, I think will put some eyeballs on it. Also, Kurt Warner is part of the pregame on CBS. So, I mean, talk about trotting out the big names and giving him an opportunity to continue and practice his broadcasting career, which he's pretty darn good at already. And then someone else said to me on Twitter, Daytona this weekend. And so you've got the beginning of speed weeks at Daytona. So that's important too. It's not like there's nothing going on. College basketball, and we get closer and closer to seeing what the committee is going to do, and you know, the same way they do with college football now, giving you a peek behind the curtain at the, you know, the field of 64 and how they might set up the various regions and seeds. So that too. And then NBA and NHL, I know we're post trade deadline and there's some dust that needs to settle here. But we'll start to see how these players like Marc Gasol and Nico Mirotic, and also Tobias Harris, who was introduced by the Sixers, along with a couple of other guys that got traded. That happened on Thursday too. We'll start to see how they fit in and whether or not the Lakers completely implode from within. I'm not hoping that happens, but there is a part of me that thinks, how do the young guys recover from something like this? It's a hard lesson to learn, and every guy has to learn it at some point. Every guy or gal who plays a professional sport, you have to learn it at some point that there are very many decisions that are made because of business, not really. They have nothing to do with you. You can transcend the business of the sport if you are really good, if you're one of those elite players, but there are only a handful of players who can actually do that. For the most part, the business supersedes the actual talents and abilities of the player. And that's a hard lesson to learn, whether it's through a trade, whether it's through something like this, and coming face to face with the fact that you are, in fact, expendable. I mean, it is a tough lesson to learn, but whether you're in sports or any other business, I think at some juncture in our lives, in our adult lives, we all come to the realization that, okay, I'm not as valuable or awesome as I thought I was, or my company didn't value me nearly as much as I thought I was. I thought I should be. I've been fired twice, dropped from two separate radio rotations on other occasions. So, I mean, I consider those to be firings, or at least kind of the layoffs of my career. So, yeah, I mean, it happens. And now you've got these young guys with the Lakers who realize, I'm not really valued in this locker room as much as I would like to be. And maybe it's time to dial back my expectations, or at the very least, not be loyal to an organization that would be happy to ship me out at any point for Anthony Davis. I mean, five bodies and four draft picks. The Pelicans were toying with the Lakers. That is the moral of the story for this week. The Pelicans were screwing around with the Lakers and honestly made them do this whole song and dance. And I wonder if they kind of feel foolish now. They definitely did play their hand, did they not? They showed you how much they would love to get Anthony Davis and who's really driving that bus. All right, so I hope that you have an awesome weekend. I have a couple of basketball games on TV that I'm looking forward to. I'll be sporting my pink for Play for K, which is Kay Yao, of course, the longtime NC State coach that battled breast cancer so valiantly four times before she passed away. So she's honored every year in women's college basketball. And I hope that you will read my latest football column when you're jonesing for NFL football. Try the AAF and check out my column that looks ahead through the offseason. It's on both Twitter and Facebook, and we will reconvene on Sunday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.